Now, serious concerns have been raised about the health of children in Northern Ireland. A major new report by child health experts has been released today, and it's issuing something of a stark warning, saying child poverty is really in a bad place here, and a strategy needs to be implemented to combat smoking, drinking and obesity among young people from deprived backgrounds. An estimated 23% of children here are living in poverty. That's nearly one in four, and it's compared to 19% elsewhere in the UK. I want to speak to Dr. Carl McKeever, who's from the Royal College of Paediatrics. Dr. McKeever, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
What's the reason other than poverty, or is poverty simply the reason? Why I'm asking this is I'm sure there are many people who'd be living in what they describe as poverty, and they're, you know, not falling foul of smoking, drinking and obesity.
Exactly. Frank, just to give the background, this study is the first of its kind. We collected information on the health and well-being of our children right across the UK. And in Northern Ireland, unfortunately, we found some significant concerns. And as you mentioned, the underlying theme was inequalities and poverty, if you like. The areas that I'd like to bring you to talk about are particularly in two areas. We found that there are more infants dying in Northern Ireland before the first birthday than in the rest of the UK. And we also found that there are more young teenagers dying in Northern Ireland. And if you look to 2012, there were 168 deaths of children before the age of 19. That's a big loss to society. And over half, just under half of those were infants before the age of one. And upwards on 50 between the ages of 14 and 19. And if I look at those children between 14 and 19, certainly the majority of those were from preventable causes, including the tragedy of suicide. But you mentioned, why is this poverty the only reason? It isn't the only reason, but what we find is that if you are born into poverty, and if you are in an area where you don't have the same life opportunities, then the chances of you developing long-term chronic disease such as asthma or diabetes, or becoming overweight, we call it obesity, then that is much higher. And unfortunately, what we see is that that children born into poverty are on the back foot. They don't have the same opportunities as children born into wealthier environments, and it's hard to buck that trend. So this study is looking at society to place the well-being of our children at the front of everything we do, and we need more education about child health, and actually to talk more about prevention, Frank, rather than leaving it to treating a problem when it actually is there. So it's about making the health of our children better right from the start.
Our thoughts are absolutely with anyone listening to the programme who has lost a child, and we have to keep that in mind. But you're suggesting that some of these infants who died, their deaths were avoidable?
So one of the things that we're calling for, and that is already in place in other parts of the Western world and indeed in England, is a child death overview panel. And whilst all child deaths are investigated, we're looking for a regional board to examine in detail the causes of each death. Now, every child death is a tragedy. Some, unfortunately, are not preventable. But many of them look to causes in our public health and well-being. So when you mentioned infants that die before the age of one, quite often a lot of these infants are passing away because they are born unhealthy, and they are born at a lower birth weight than others. They are born with higher rates of problems in Northern Ireland, particularly with what we call congenital problems. And if you look to the health,
yes, but is there anything that their parents are doing that has caused this death?
So what key here is the health of mums, expectant mums. So what we have is higher levels of maternal smoking in areas where there is poverty. We have higher use of alcohol and both legal and illegal drugs. We have poor nutrition. So really what we are saying is that healthier mums give birth to a higher chance of giving birth to higher, better healthy babies with a better birth weight. And what is working across the rest of the world, and what is already working in areas, for example, in West Belfast, like Colin Glen, is that if we put resources in at community level, where healthcare professionals actually look to mums in the communities who have, for example, made a great success out of breastfeeding, and they find their child is healthier, and they've cut out alcohol, they've cut out smoking, and then they stand up as champions in their society. So really, this is about a bottom-up approach where we get messages out through education to our children when they start school, so that when they come to childbearing age, that they know what is a healthy lifestyle. And then that means that they have a much better chance of giving birth to a healthy child, because actually those problems of being born into poverty stay with you. We know that if you are born into poverty, that you have a higher risk actually of leaving school without enough qualifications to improve your standard of life, and all of it is bound together. But it's prevention, Frank, of getting that education, that message out there that if you are carrying a baby and you're listening to the program this morning, then you can make a difference to the future for your child right now by looking at resources to see if you can improve your health and improve your activity, stop smoking and look after your body. And actually, then when the child is born, there's plenty that can be done. For example, in the United States, they have this sort of acronym called this thing called the 52-10 rule. And that is sort of an easy thing for parents to try and make their child healthier. So the 5 is for 5 pieces of fruit and vegetables. The 2 is maximum of 2 hours of screen time a day. The 1 is 1 hour of exercise, so up being fit and active, both at school and at home. And the 0 is 0 sugary drinks. And so it's getting that message out there that yes, this report is calling for government to introduce things like a child poverty strategy to focus resources and the child death overview panel that I talked about, but also for individuals. Individuals can make a difference. We're not dependent on government spoon-feeding us policies, particularly at the moment when we're waiting for power to be re-established. We will be holding politicians to account and bringing this message to them. But this can start with our listeners as well. People listening to this programme can make a difference to the future of their child.
Yeah, well, we needn't put any hope in our government if we're expecting them to do something that's going to improve the health of our children. But as far as the individuals are concerned, it sounds like common sense what you're saying, but also a wee bit of pie in the sky, you know, no sugary drinks and an hour's exercise and only 2 hours in front of the screen and the 5 fruit and vegetables. It's, you know, in the ideal world, yes, but my goodness, that's a tough ask for any parent, never mind for a parent who would be coming from a socioeconomic background that has been challenged. What about the teenagers? You say some were sadly dying by suicide. Yes. Some of course will have, you know, will take a very serious illness and die, as with adults. I'm sure you've included children who've died to cancer and whatever in that group. But is there some other reason that teenagers are dying young?
So when you look at our data, our outcomes from some conditions like cancer have improved and are among the best in the world. But the preventable deaths are in and around suicide, but also accidents and safety in the home. And one death from a preventable accident is one death too many. So I'm thinking of deaths in the roads and our call for a reduction in speed limits in urban areas. The 20s Plenty scheme, where a maximum of 20 mile an hour, we feel would reduce injuries and save lives. We're thinking about the great work that was done by local specialists in Northern Ireland regarding the cord blinds and making safe cord blinds. There have been, unfortunately, somewhere around 5 to 6 deaths over recent years in Northern Ireland. And so there are fairly cost-neutral schemes that can reduce the number of preventable deaths in our children. And but if I bring you back to suicide and mental health for a second, because certainly that has been a major tragedy for our young children. And what we are hoping is that we can improve the facilities and the ability for recognition of mental health problems in children, and that is through education and health experts working in the education sector, in primary and secondary schools, so the children are more aware of their mental health. And actually, Frank, the fact of the matter is that if the majority of mental health problems come to the fore in childhood, and certainly if we can reduce the number of children and make them more aware, and we can reduce the number of children then who are bringing mental health difficulties through into adulthood, because as everyone knows, the mental health problems, particularly depression, etc., can have a massive effect on a child's ability to to make the most of their opportunities.
Absolutely. And finally, just briefly, Carl, one of the things you're thinking of is making it more difficult for a young person to get a driving licence.
Yes.
Holding them back, not allowing them behind the wheel till they're 18.
Yeah, so, and that is, I mean, that certainly is a point that has been brought out of our report, and it's not only delaying the age at which to drive, it's other factors as well. What has worked across North America, particularly in Australia, is a graduated driver's license, and some of those factors are allowed with the development of technology. So, for example, that's limiting the number of passengers that teenagers can carry, because quite often with multiple people in a car, if there is an accident from a young driver, there's a higher chance of more injury. Looking to reduce the number of hours that children drive at night, for example, because we know there are more accidents then. So there's a number of factors that we can work with across departments to make sure that if children are behind the wheel in their later teenage years, that they are responsible and know the risk. And actually, it's coming back to poverty again. And unfortunately, the number of road accidents and road deaths, children involved in those are disproportionately from areas where there is poverty and poorer access to education, and we need to fix that. So it comes back to the prevention and the education that we think can make a difference for all of our children. Frank, it's the right thing to do morally, legally, and economically. If we if the government and society at large looks at our report seriously and gives it fair wind, I think that the next time we talk, and certainly down the line, we can be looking to a better future for our children, which can only be good for our country.
Okay. Dr. Carl McKeever, thank you very much.